There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Baghdad Soundwalks.
Hello, fellow travelers. I'm Dina.
And I'm Ali. Where should we travel to today, Dina?
To be honest, Ali, I'm feeling like taking it easy. Maybe something more relaxing. After the marketplace and the mosque, I just want to chill.
I've got just the thing for you. Let's make our way to the hammam.
When you say hammam, you mean the bathhouse, a public house, right?
Right. But Dina, the hammam is so much, much more than that.
I know that they were very popular back in the day and still are in lots of places around the world.
They're called the thermae, if I can remember my Latin. It's been a little bit, but they were really popular. And they were a hangout spot for the Romans, particularly wealthy ones. In fact, some of the oldest hammams in the world are found in old Roman territories, like Syria, and then eventually Baghdad and the rest of the Islamic world.
Please, tell me, what would I see?
Well, first, the hammam would be located relatively close to the mosque or sometimes near the marketplace. You want it nearby because everyday activity would be around it, so it's easily accessible.
Yeah, especially for Muslims, you know, throughout the day, they have to maintain a certain level of hygiene. It's very important Islamically, and even before they pray, they have to perform wudu. So I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah, so hammam served in some ways a religious function, like you're pointing out, but they also had access to baths and cleanliness more broadly. And they were also incredibly social.
Surprise, surprise. Everything is social in Baghdad.
Extroverts through and through. They like to hang out and relax at the same time. Honestly, it may actually be better to see them as a sort of spa rather than like a bathhouse. So if we were making our way to the hammam, we would see a structure with some type of dome and a courtyard on the outside leading to the doors.
Okay, tell me more.
But this is where we're going to have to part ways, Dina.
Okay, that makes sense. We can't enter together.
Yep, like the harem, the hammam was a pretty gendered space. In the marketplace and in public, you've got men and women that did intermingle with one another. But not the hammam, not the bath space.
That's still quite similar to spa places nowadays as well. You have different spaces for different people.
Yeah.
So did they have different spaces like spas do today?
Sometimes, I think. But mostly in Abbasid Baghdad, what we're seeing is different times of the day for men and different times for women.
Okay, so we'd walk in at separate times, but we'd both have access to the same hammam. Shall we take a peek?
All right. So up first, we're going to see the outer chamber. This is where we take off our clothes and wrap ourselves in small cloths.
That's why there are different times for men and women.
Yeah. And in addition, there's going to be a sort of successive layout that's a Roman inspiration.
What would that be like?
There would be rooms right after one another. So one room back to back.
Okay, let's keep exploring the space. I'm excited.
All right, once we've started to undress ourselves or we've gone through the undressing room, the first room up is called the cold room, cleverly titled because this is the room that has no heat in it. It has the attendants with the fans to keep you cool in that Baghdad heat. It's got benches and cushions so that you can sit and chill and relax. And of course, people congregate and chat and play. There were board games, sometimes music, food, and even...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Shisha.
Shisha.
You know me too well, Dina. You know me too well.
Just before you carry on, Ali... What do you mean there was food?
They would eat in these places.
Like food, not snacks.
Mostly fruit.
Okay.
So you'd have some grapes, you'd have some oranges, citruses, and chilled drinks called sherbets.
Okay, what comes next?
after the cold room comes the warm room. So you can see there's a logic here. Things get even more comfortable. Here you've got fragrant incenses and steam that keeps the room warm as you lounge and just let the worries of the day melt away.
My eyes are closed. I'm visualizing it.
Oh, there's more.
Oh!
There's more. This is the massage parlor.
A massage parlor?
Yep.
For free?
For free.
No.
Yes, this was a public service.
Oh my God. Okay. Everything's changed. I'm now 100 times more excited. I thought this would be somewhere that people go to buy these services.
Nope. This is a public service because hygiene is a public service. You want a healthy population. So let them get into those baths.
Okay. We're not calling it a bathhouse anymore. This is officially a spa. And you said that there are different rooms with different experiences, one social and one's relaxing.
And the more you move through the hammam, the more relaxing it gets, the more intimate it gets.
What do you mean intimate?
Well, if you're going from eating and chatting to massage, that's pretty intimate.
I could really do with a massage. I haven't had one since like 2017.
Just keep in mind though, massages and hammams tend to be really vigorous with like lots of joint pulling and hard rubbing. The idea was to kind of get the blood flowing as much as it was to relax you. I mean, I've experienced a hammam in Istanbul. First of all, one of the most awkward experiences in my life. And two, he pulled my limbs in directions that my limbs don't go in.
Sad story aside of your experience in Istanbul, I feel like what you're describing is, as you mentioned, a health center, because I'm not going there for a nice, relaxing Thai massage. I'm going to fix my body.
That's actually a really great way to think about it, because in addition to the massage, you have three other big services. First, you go in there, you're going to get a nice trim.
What?
You're going to get your beard lined up, your hair done. This is where the barbers were hanging out and they made sure you look pretty. Then you had your physicians. So while the massage person is moving your limbs in directions that they don't go, the physician is telling you, all right, you need to watch your diet and eat this particular medicine and make sure you get lots of exercise.
Wow.
And then they have one of the coolest, cupping. Cupping is really, really popular. Have you ever heard of cupping before?
I have. You'll probably be able to explain it better than me.
They're still in Cairo, right?
Definitely. And there's a lot of people that do it in the UK as well. It has become quite popular. But it's this sucking method that kind of brings the blood to the surface, right?
I've seen it. I've never had it done. I don't think it looks too relaxing. But people swear by it. They say it's really good for your health.
I'm just still not over the fact that I could go into a spa, get a massage, get some fruit, get my hair cut, all for free. They really had it all.
Yeah, totally.
You can see how the hammam wasn't just for religious cleansing, because this was actually more of a social function. And you even mentioned about the physician. So this is actually connected to health.
I love that you actually called it a health center. It's changed my whole world right now. I'm going to call it a health center going forward, because it really was what it was. It was tied to health. We even have examples like from medieval doctors that say and prescribe, you need to go and visit the hammam. It was the most common flu remedy. If you get feeling a little congested, go and hang out in the steam rooms. And it was also recommended after childbirth as a deep cleansing for the woman, but also to really restore her muscles and her joints after childbirth.
You know, it's kind of sad to hear this, because I don't feel like we take care of ourselves anymore hearing this.
They really had it good with this hammam.
Oh my God. So after our massage, cupping and haircut, what comes next?
Logically, after the warm room, the hot room.
The shock. This is where we get to the bath portion. I'm already a little bit iffy on.
I'm iffy about this too. But after the scrubbing and the rubbing, there comes the washing down with hot water and steam.
And is that communal, Ali, or are you still in separate rooms for this?
It's communal.
Okay. The technology and architecture here is actually very interesting. to get different temperatures in each room, to move around steam, to keep the water hot for the hot room, you'd really need a lot of precise designs.
This is the magic of engineering. It's something that even I try to wrap my head around sometimes, just how advanced it was. I mean, the use of furnaces and vents, it was really ingenious how they were able to create the different temperatures. I read that they even had special shafts in the dome of the hot room so that it would get natural light and allow some of the steam to escape so it wasn't too hot, but hot enough.
I love that they think of everything.
Right?
So it's a health center, a community center, a bathhouse. Who was paying for all of this?
Mostly the Caliph. The Abbasid Empire saw it as a public good, and so it was accessible regardless of wealth or class. Though obviously the wealthy had better services.
What more could you have?
Probably better quality oils and incenses and better masseurs.
Okay, that makes total sense. And now that we've dived into what the bathhouse is, or as you want to call it now, a health center, it does make a lot of sense because hygiene is always connected to both religion and health. So I'm guessing the Caliph frequently visited the hammam.
We do see some change here. Originally, the Caliphs did. Later on, we're going to see some private hammams for the Caliph. But originally, the Caliph and his family would use the exact same hammam as everyone else, just at different times of the day.
I still find that so weird.
It's a little weird. In fact, I got a story for you. The hammam, because it was public, was one of the few places that the Caliph could probably be attacked. And in fact, one of the Caliphs were. Al-Ma'mun, supposedly there was a plot in order to kill him when he went to the hammam. But he was warned of the plot in advance by his advisors and the court astrologer. So he sent someone else in his place, his advisor Al-Fadl. And what happens to poor Al-Fadl? They mistake him for the Caliph and he ends up getting killed.
Oh.
Horrible messed up story, huh?
Yeah.
But it shows that these spaces were still very political spaces.
I can always rely on you, Ali, to give me a random exciting story. I had fun in the hammam. We got a chance to relax, socialize, get a massage, wash away all our problems. And thankfully, I'm not on anyone's assassinations list. Next time, let's go somewhere even more exciting. I'm Dina.
And I'm Ali. This is a Ubisoft podcast produced by Paradiso Media. Be sure to subscribe to the Echoes of History podcast so you don't miss the next episode of Baghdad Soundwalks. See you next time, fellow travelers.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.